Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. So public school lunch menus, not a model for restaurants? Well, maybe they should be. More on a renovated school lunch in Baltimore's public schools in just a moment. We're also asking about what's next for Sarah Palin, who's stepping down as Alaska's governor. As she looks for the next big thing, what should she do?
Hi there, Young Day, Yorktown, Virginia, on the road to Richmond, since she's going back to fishing. I think Sarah Palin would make a great job, you know, turning into bait. We might as well use her for bait.
There's a happy thought from one of our listeners. Give Sarah some serious career advice at 8778-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Headlines now from Mark Garrison.
Thank you, John. 12 minutes before the hour, and we're hearing from Takeaway listeners about Sarah Palin's surprise resignation. Alaskan state lawmakers are also reacting. Democratic State House Representative Beth Kurtula says it could be a good thing.
You know, in some ways, it was a relief. We've been going through a lot, and the governor hasn't been present, and she hasn't focused on Alaska in a while.
Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell, a Republican, says Sarah Palin leaves a strong legacy.
Governor Palin accomplished more in 2.5 years in office than most governors accomplish in one or even two terms here.
Parnell takes over the State House once Palin leaves office. General Motors is one step closer to finishing its restructuring process. A federal bankruptcy judge has ruled the automaker can sell the bulk of its assets to a new government-backed company. Nashville police now classify former NFL quarterback Steve McNair's death as a homicide. He and a female friend were found shot dead Saturday. Police have not yet classified his friend's death. Finally, in Afghanistan, a car bomb has gone off near the main NATO base in the southern part of the country, killing one and wounding at least 8 others, John.
Thank you, Mark. So if you went to public school, you know, maybe it's not the meals that you remember. Tony Geraci joins us. He's the food service director for the Baltimore City Public Schools. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning.
So, Tony, have you ever heard this? Mr. Geraci, is that meat? Mr. Geraci, are those actually vegetables? They don't seem to be very green. Have you heard anything
absolutely.
Like that? You've heard that from kids?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I took over just about a year ago, and the first thing that I did was bring in local produce. On the very first day of school, we started serving Maryland-grown peaches, and then we went to nectarines, and then apples, and then pears. So, you know, I managed to source a lot of stuff locally.
So with the bar as low as it is for public school cafeteria meals, did, first of all, buying locally change the reception of people actually coming through the cafeteria line there in Baltimore?
Well, I think that it sent a message of hope. The system, as you know, is broken. And I think that our kids are the most important asset that we have in this country. And I think that it's critical that we start treating them right and start doing the right thing for them every day.
Well, you're in the studios there of PRI member station WEAA in Baltimore, and it seems to me that the public school, the public school lunch program was originally installed as a way of making sure that kids who come from a variety of different backgrounds are going to have a nutritious meal during the day so that if there's any sort of nutritional problem at home, it's not going to get in the way of their learning. Plus, you know, it just makes sense to have a good lunch at school. But you've turned the entire city public school food service program into a learning tool all by itself. Explain.
Well, I think that if you want to get kids to eat good food, you've got to expose kids to real food. And so we took a 33-acre abandoned orphanage here and recreated it as the Great Kids Farm. I think the single most powerful tool that you can give children is the opportunity to plant a seed and then watch that seed grow into something that produces a fruit or a vegetable that then they can harvest, that then they can prepare and serve to their peers. It forever changes the way they look at food. You know, it's no longer a consumptive act. It's something so much greater than that. And it certainly makes my job easier as a food service director to start implementing changes if they see changes happening.
So Michelle Simpson and Rashad Epps, you're there in the studio with Tony.
Yes.
Has he put you to work actually digging around in the soil and making sure that your lunch grows up big and tall?
Yeah.
Well, what seeds have you planted and what's ended up on your plate, Michelle?
So far, I'm planting corn seeds.
And you've actually served your own corn in the school lunches?
No, we just started planting it. Now we're waiting to see our results first to see how it come out.
So Rashad Epps, corn versus junk food. I mean, who would want that?
I do.
Yeah? So what junk food did you have to give up to actually focus on Tony's program?
I'm not in Mr. Tony's program.
Well, but you go to the schools there in Baltimore, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have school lunches at the school, and it's harder to get junk food at your school now, right?
Not really.
Really? So
I consider the lunch junk food.
You consider the lunch junk food. Yeah, well, Rashad, so Tony, you're going to have to talk to Rashad there.
Well, no, Rashad is absolutely right. You know, I took over this program a year ago. I also inherited all of the bad contracts that were in place and all of the bad food. So it's literally taken me a year to undo some of the things that have already been done. One of the first things that I was able to accomplish was to write the very first RFP in Maryland history calling for only Maryland-grown produce to be purchased by our school system.
So that's request for proposals, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
So, no, go ahead.
No, I mean, you're seeking grants to actually get this implemented in the schools.
No, it's not grants. It's just redirecting the purchasing policy of the school district. So rather than buying junk, we made a conscious decision to start purchasing locally. I think that any time there's a taxpayer-supported food system, that the taxpayers ought to get the best bang for the buck, that you should spend the money within your community first before you go outside of the community. And Maryland happens to be a great state that can grow products year-round.
Michelle Simpson, do you think differently about what to serve at lunch when you're at school than maybe you thought a year ago before you met Tony?
Yeah, I thought it serving some good food, healthy food for the kids, because some food, they kind of make you sick. So, yeah.
But that's a hard argument for boys like Rashad, who would rather actually eat junk food and Cheetos, right, Rashad?
No.
No? So
I eat both.
You eat both?
I eat everything when I'm hungry, so it don't matter to me.
So, Tony, you've had your own difficulties in your own life trying to, control your dietary intake and keep from the health problems that comes from, too much junk food, too much processed food. How has that struggle led to this particular program in Baltimore?
Well, I think that I recognized that if I wanted to stick around to see my children grow and to see my grandchildren grow, that I needed to make some significant changes in my own life. And that, included, changing my diet, changing my exercise patterns, and starting to practice a little more of what I preach. You know, I'm a chef. I was born and raised in New Orleans, and I grew up around food and with food, and it is absolutely one of my first loves. It's difficult sometimes to make good choices around food, especially if all you've been exposed to is processed sugar-laden things. And I think that it's real difficult for our kids today in school to make those choices. I had a guy in my office a couple of weeks ago bring in this can of apple soda, right? And it was endorsed by the SNA and endorsed by the USDA.
Right.
And it was supposed to be an equivalent to one fruit serving. So, I held up an apple grown in Maryland and a little carton of apple juice concentrate that was grown in China. And I set them in front of this guy and I said, so all three of these things are supposed to be the same. No wonder our kids are confused. and you look at an apple has like 7 grams of naturally occurring sugar and fiber and pectin and all kinds of great things in it. And the apple juice concentrate has 14 grams of sugar. And then this apple soda has 28 grams of sugar. It is not the same thing.
Well, you've got obstacles within the sort of food marketing world and within the political world of the school system. Tony Gerace is going up against all of them to change the menu. He's food service director for Baltimore City's public schools just for the last year. Michelle Simpson, take us out. What junk food have you given up, and what natural food do you suddenly love?
Well, I never gave up junk food. I love junk food personally. And the natural food I eat is basically vegetables.
All right. So one step there, Tony. A lot of work to keep going there. Tony Gerace, food service director for Baltimore City Schools. Also Michelle Simpson, a student at Baltimore City Public Schools. And Rashad Epps, also a student in the City Public Schools in Baltimore. Thanks to all of you guys. It's about lunchtime for me. It's The Takeaway.